Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 1 through 13 of chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 13. This is God's Word. May you give attention to it because it is His Word. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He has said, as I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although His works were finished from the foundation of the world, for He has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Well, that is the word of God. The fourth chapter of Hebrews continues the thought from chapter 3. The main theme here in these two chapters is that Jesus is greater than Moses. And continuing now to apply that warning passage. Remember the warning passage in chapter 3, verses 7 through 19? We saw there verse 7, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts like Israel did. And if those who do harden their hearts, He gave the promise, verse 11, they shall not enter my rest. Well, chapter 4 now, He begins calling God's people to a careful observance and attentiveness to heed that warning. So that upon hearing the gospel that you Christians are to receive it by faith. When you hear Jesus speak, when you hear the Lord speak, you are to hear Him and receive it with faith. Those who don't receive it with faith, it will be of no profit to you, except the promise, you will not enter His rest. You see in verse 3, those who, having heard His voice and thus having faith in the gospel, will enter His rest. Verse 6 clarifies this by saying that those who don't have faith and therefore disobedient to the word will not enter that rest. Again, saying exactly what it said in chapter 3. And so what is this rest? What is He talking about when He says rest? You see verse 9, this rest is for the people of God. Verse 10, those who enter this rest also rest from their works. And verse 8 gives us probably the greatest clue as to what this rest is referring to. For it talks about Joshua and the rest of of Israel that they had in the land of Canaan. The promised rest in the land from their enemies. The promise that was first given to Abraham. And now, as we've been reading through Joshua, we've known it was fulfilled at that time. All of this rest, it was looked to in the book of Joshua. But it says here that Joshua didn't give them that rest. At least not completely. Now, we referred to that as we went through Joshua as well, that promised land, the physical land of Israel, was not what Abraham was promised. It was part of the promise, but it was not the full promise. It was not the full fulfillment of the promise. Even Abraham, remember, he says later on in Hebrews, we'll see this, that he looked forward to a heavenly country, not one that was physical, although a physical was part of it. That the rest here to God's people is the new heavens and the new earth, the rest there, the eternal rest. And so we think today, looking, there's many in the church who would think that it's very special, it's very important for us to see that physical land of Israel as very important today. And so when they got their land back and they were made a country again in the early 20th century, that was somehow a great achievement for God's people. But that's not what is communicated in Scripture. We see we think of politics and we have the elections coming up with the president and all these things, and they're continually talking about Israel and how we have to remain allies with Israel because they're Israel. And it stems all the way back to because of the Christian nation that we come from. Because they think that somehow Israel is really important, but it's not. The physical land isn't. So as it has to do with the church, you know, politics, they can, if they want to ally with Israel, that's fine. But as it has to do with Christianity and God's people, the physical land is not what is pointed to. It's the heavenly country, the greater reality that Moses even looked forward to. And so here we see that Jesus is the greater Moses, that he promises an eternal rest through him. And we also think of this, sometimes we come to Hebrews 4 and we think, well, the Lord's Day is the fulfillment. The eternal rest is the fulfillment of the Lord's Day, so we don't have to keep the Lord's Day anymore. So that's an argument that comes against us. And yet this chapter is not about that at all. This is clearly fulfilling the promise to Abraham. The land that was to provide rest. And then pointing forward to the new heavens and the new earth, which we would have eternal rest. The Sabbath day, the Lord's Day, does point forward to that. And yet here we're not being pointed from the Sabbath day or the Lord's day. We're being pointed from the promise to Abraham. And so here we are encouraged as God's people to persevere in our faith, that we would see that eternal rest, the new heavens and the new earth, for what awaits us there if we have faith in the gospel is glory. And then it says, the very end of what we read, verses 12 through 13, "For because the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There's no creature hidden from his," that is the Lord's, "sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And so, again, with that warning that comes today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He's saying here that his word searches your very hearts. That even the thoughts and intentions of your heart, not just what you do and what you say, but even what no one can see. He'll know if you hear his word. He'll know if you'll respond to it in faith, even if we might not. So because of this truth, when you hear his word, again, the gospel proclaimed, receive it with faith for salvation. And you have that, therefore, here, the promise rest awaiting you, if you do. Let's pray. Our Father, in our lives, we struggle in sin. Even when we come to worship, we struggle to focus and pay attention. We are often distracted. But we pray that you would cause us to prepare better, that we would do all that we can in our strength by you working through us to prepare our minds and our souls and our bodies to worship you, so that when the word is preached and when the word is read and when we pray your word and when we sing your word, when we see it in the sacraments and we taste it and feel it, the word communicated through the sacraments, that we would hear you speaking. That we would not be like Israel in the wilderness who grumbled and complained when we heard your voice, but we would respond with receiving it with faith and love, that we would love to hear your word, that we would not harden our hearts. Lord, we need your Spirit to work in us these things. Lord, we pray that you would bring us and give us eternal rest. We pray that even now, that you would bring it soon, if that be your will. For we struggle in our bodies, we struggle in our souls. Those who struggle in their bodies have, chronic illnesses or cancer or just daily sickness and pain. Bones and muscles which don't work as well as they used to. Lord, strengthen us. And strengthen us in our souls. Those who have become hardened, even in the state of being your child, they've continued to rebel against you. Lord, we pray for all of us here that you would strengthen our souls to worship you, to live for you, that we would hear your voice and that you would give us this promised eternal rest. We pray that you would give us hope and encouragement in Christ because of his life that he laid down so that we would have it, that we would be glorified just as he is glorified. Sanctify us, cleanse us of our sin. Prepare us for the time when we will be in your presence worshiping you at all times, forever and ever. And Lord, we do pray for our government. Thinking about them, we pray that you would save your people. That you would bring salvation to our leaders that rule over us, whether it's in our schools, our city or towns or state or country. Those who rule over us, Father, we pray that you would save them. Give them an understanding and a love for the Word of God, that they would hear it and love it and live by it. Or as we have presidential elections and other elections coming within the next year, we pray that you would give us wisdom and who we should vote for. May your word guide us. And may we draw great comfort from the fact that you are the one who ordains every single leader over us. That you're watching over us and keeping us and guarding us. Whether it has to do with our government or with our church or our family. Father, we pray that you would, in all things, strengthen us in our weakness by the Spirit of Christ working in us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.